Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Mark Werner from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Munising, Michigan. Good morning, Pastor Werner.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest today and helping us study God's Word. Tell us about Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Munising, Michigan.
Well, Munising's an interesting town because we are right on the shores of Lake Superior. So a beautiful area up here as far as waterfalls and beautiful God's creation. Good Shepherd's a congregation that we're coming up on our 30th anniversary in about a year and a half from now, so not a very old congregation, but it's just an interesting ministry because we have lots of tourists, especially during the summertime, coming through. So we've got Missouri Synod Lutherans who stop by looking for a place to worship, and we're privileged to be able to share God's Word with them when they're here. We've got a great opportunity to spread God's Word here in our community also. So it's I've been here just about a year and a half. I had a vicarage and then a convertible into a pastor now here. So enjoying myself here a lot with the great people of Good Shepherd.
Well, wonderful. They're glad that you are there, delivering God's good gifts, serving God's people, and that God's people get to gather around His gifts and receive His good gifts there.
Mm-hmm.
We are studying Mark chapter 5 today, verses 1 through 20. What would you like for us to know about Mark chapter 5 as we prepare to dig in?
Well, I think just getting as we come out of chapter 4, I mean, these last couple days as we've been looking at the different sections we had, all this teaching that Jesus does in chapter 4, initially in these parables of talking about spreading God's word, in the parable of the sower, and you've got the lamp under the basket and things like that. Then, yesterday you guys are covering the crossing over to coming across the Sea of Galilee, and then you've got the storm. So right at that point, the disciples are amazed that Jesus has this power, even not only over healings, but now over nature. And now he comes across, and now as we dig into chapter 5, we start to see that he's entering this other area. And as he gets into it, it's an area that typically there weren't as many Jews living over there on that side of the Sea of Galilee. So you have an area that are not familiar really with Jesus at this point. So you would have some kind of historical, people who were of Jewish descent in that area, but also quite a few just what we'd say Gentiles, and that's who the disciples and Jesus are traveling over there and getting ready to embark on the boat, and then they get over there, and then we pick it up then right here in chapter 5 then.
Very good. Let's study this. Let's dig
sure.
in. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Let's start with the first paragraph here. Verse 1, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. So they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of, did I get that right, the Gerasenes?
Gerasenes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, I mean, it's what sometimes is called the Decapolis, where you have the 10 cities in that area that Jesus goes over a couple different times. We see that in Scripture, of him heading over there. And like I said, this is an area that is not as strong in their Jewish faith, so you're not going to have many Jews over there after the exile. And as he goes over there, then right away you've got this man, powerful man, obviously. I mean, the townspeople are they're frightened by him. I don't know what else. You know, that's probably the best way to say it, because they're trying to bind him up because of the unclean spirit that's living within this man. They're putting shackles on him, and that's not enough. He's able to break through the shackles, and the whole town over there is just afraid of the man and the power that he has, the power that's coming through this demonic possession that he has at this point. And so this man, you know, the part that just, you just hear this day and night, the man is crying out. The man who's possessed by Satan here, I mean, here's a man that is still in just crying out because of the demons that he has, and trying to crying out to relieve them, or crying out just because he's under their control. The power that Satan is really showing right there initially, as we have this going, in this first part of chapter 5.
And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. So this man lives among the he lives among the dead.
Yeah, you know, and you can look at that and say, well, obviously for a Jew, that was an area to be amongst the tombs, a place that they would not want to be, because that's... they would be rendered unclean as far as if they're in the tombs doing anything. So for, but this man's coming down to Jesus. He's living amongst the tombs because, well, you know, perhaps it's because the townspeople don't want him nearby. And he's out. He's out of his mind. He is quite a sight to be seen. That's for sure.
And quite strong. I mean, he can't be bound with chains and shackles.
Yeah, the power. So you know, the physical strength that he has, but obviously it's the power that we see here of the evil one that has possessed him. You know, just to have that. And like I said, the townspeople are they're living in terror of this man. As a result of that.
Well, and no one had the strength to subdue him. So, yeah there certainly is reason to.
Right.
They would have reason to be afraid. Mm-hmm. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones.
You know, it could be that he's trying to actually use the stones to get the last part of the fetters, the shackles that are on him off, or if he's actually trying to commit suicide. Scripture's not really clear on that, and our commentaries don't really put too much emphasis in on that. But obviously, he's living in terror. We have a human being who now, because of this demon possession, is overwhelmed by evil. As a result of that, that's this life, and the terror that is causing in his own life as a result of having these demons that he has, you know.
And then something changes. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Yeah. I adjure you by God, do not torment me."
Yeah. You know, Satan knows who Jesus is. And right away, the demonic possession that is in this man knows who Jesus is. And he comes, and it's interesting that he falls down to Jesus. Because that right there is a submission that, you know, even these demons realize that they are under submission from the Most High, from God. They know their lot in life. That judgment is upon them, and really that's what we're going to have here in just a moment, is that that judgment that they're crying not to happen, but this man's coming and seeking Jesus at this point. You know, I think it's interesting because there's other stories where there's a demonic possession, and you have people bringing this person to Jesus, and here this man in... we don't know why. He's coming and he's sensing who Jesus is through either the demon possession, but at the same time we see that in some ways it's almost like this man crying out for mercy from God at that point. You know that that we see that the mercy that's going to be shown to him is kind of the precursor that's happening right there. Yeah.
For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many."
Yeah. You know, a Roman military term right there, Legion, that there was a military unit of, they say, between like 4,000 and 6,000 men. And a Legion was known for when they would come through a town, just the devastation that they could bring. Because mm-hmm. if you had an army showing up into your town with that type of force, their will would be done. You know, they're going to come with and do whatever they need to do. And when Jesus asked them, what is your name? A Legion, because we are many. So this man perhaps has as many as, 4,000 or 6,000 demons living within him, again, showing the strength of the evil that's possessed this poor man at this point.
My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country.
Yeah. You know, Satan knows that his time is limited. And as a result of that, he's saying, don't cast us now. Don't give us before our time is allotted, the casting into hell. Let us stay here. You know, in this case, let us stay right here amongst the people. And we look at this world, and we see the demonic. We see the evil that is around this world. Satan right now sometimes looks like he is in control. And we see things happening in our world today with the horrible things happening around there where there's times when it looks like evil is winning out. But Satan knows he has been defeated. He knew that from the time that he was cast from heaven, that he was judged and that would be taking place. And then once the fall of man into sin and you had that proclamation that the Savior would come and crush you, you know, we have that same, Satan knew that was his lot. That there would be that kind of damnation. There would be that punishment for him. And for here now Legion to be saying, you know, don't send us away. We know that's going to be happening. And adjuring to God, saying, calling on God, kind of looking for, saying, hey, you, Jesus, submit to the Father. Submit to him here. And I'm calling on him so that you don't, cast us out of this area. Let us stay here. At that point.
Interesting turn in the story here, the text. Verse 11. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." A bunch of swine on the hillside.
Right. And obviously, for the Jewish person reading this scripture that Mark writes, they know right away, okay, we've got pigs, an unclean animal. Because the Jews are forbidden to eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
And for them even saying, send us into the pigs, it is an understanding that, send us into this animal that Jesus say is unclean, because that's who we are. We are an unclean animal, and that they could go into the pigs themselves. And so they're begging that, and Jesus allows that. He lets that happen then there.
So here we have some demonic bacon.
Exactly.
It's a sad story. It's a sad story.
And, I'll let you read then what happens to the pigs here.
So send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea.
Yeah, what a sight. This whole story, I mean, if you were a bystander and watching this unfold, seeing this man with this this great power of this demonic activity, and then coming to Jesus, and now we're seeing Jesus exhibiting his own power, the power over the devil there, and allowing them to go into those pigs. And immediately then they're thrown into the sea. 2,000. Yes, we've got lots of demonic bacon. We've got a lot of. It's a very interesting sight to see. They're drowned in the sea. And when this exorcism's happening, you know. But it reminds us also really of baptism, because in baptism, the demonic, that sin that is around us, is drowned into the sea, you know, and so we have this same type of image that is coming through here, that the death of us, because the death that we experience in our baptism is one that force of the evil one that was on our lives is now taken and drowned in those waters. And for us, as we read this as Lutherans, we see baptism all over that, that there is that drowning of, you know, of the demon right there. In Luther's prayer in the baptism service, you know, it talks about Pharaoh's armies being drowned in the sea, and Pharaoh was seen as this, you know, this evil, same thing, kind of this evil man, and everything that was happening there. And in that prayer during baptism, then it also talks about the saving things that happen in water of the ark. And so in the thing that you have destruction happening, in these waters can also be life.
Unclean spirit make way for the Holy Spirit. I think that's from the order of baptism.
Yeah. You know, and living up here right by Lake Superior, I see that you see the fierceness of the water sometimes, and just the power that is within that and through God's creation, and also just the gentleness of the waterfalls as they flow into the lake. It is both sides of it. It's that life and death. It's that idea of that destruction that happens here to the pigs, that God is rending those spirits out of that man into this herd that is now plummeting to their death. Yeah.
One other thing that kind of stands out for me in verse 13, so he gave them permission. Interesting. Permission was needed. He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs.
You know, permission, it's saying he's granting that he goes there, but it's right away these pigs are dying. It is an evident. It's also showing that the power that Jesus, through that spoken word, is getting these demons out of the man. But at the same time, giving them permission, they're plunged to their death. We don't know what happens to those spirits, the demons at that point. It's now taking those pigs out of action for sure. We got 2,000 that are now, you know, what a sight that would be, just all these floating dead pigs, you know. Yeah.
We need to take a quick break. Right. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study. We'll pick up around verse 14. We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Mark Werner from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Munising, Michigan. We're in Mark chapter 5 today. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, Eugene has gone missing.
He seems to have disappeared.
disappeared?
Unfortunately, Eugene's wondering what's going on, too.
Where am I, and why, pray tell, have I been tied up?
And of course, Connie's questions are always the same.
Well, when did all this happen? Where was I?
Everyone's questions will be answered on the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Mark Werner from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Munising, Michigan, in beautiful Munising, Michigan. We are in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, ready to pick up at verse 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and spread the news right away.
And it's interesting because they're terrified again. First, they're terrified at this man because of being possessed by and the power that he had. And now they're terrified because they see him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. They have seen a miracle in changing this man from just a sight to of fear, and now it is a fear of God. To see the power and the immediate change that's happened in this man's life. Clothed and he's sitting at Jesus' feet. It reminds me of as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. We probably say those words, mm-hmm. Sunday after Sunday without really thinking about them in that same way, but those words would really ring true for this man, to think that he has been delivered from the evil that had been beseeching him for all these years, and now that is taken away, and as a result of that, there's a new terror, a holy terror, because now, instead of that, the demonic activity, they're seeing this man purified, by God's action.
Well, that's just it. They come to see Jesus, and then they see the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
Yeah. because they could not keep this man down. They couldn't do anything to control him. The only way that there could be any kind of control is if God Almighty steps in and takes care of that situation. And that's really, I think, for us as Christians, something that a small little takeaway that we can see. So often we have things happening in our lives that we have no control over. And we see the evils, we see the problems, and we try to do them on our own, just like they were doing, trying to shackle this man initially. But it's not until Jesus Christ shows up and through his spoken word, that same word that was in creation that could speak things into existence, now is speaking and removing this evil from this man. And now he's there sitting in his right mind and clothed. Again, to me right away, I see that word and I think about baptism, because we have this idea of now we are clothed in the robe of righteousness. This man has now, the evil is taken away, and he's obviously no longer running around naked, but he is clothed. And I think of, and I see that, I think of that idea that after that evil one, the exorcism that happens in our baptism, that when we renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways, and that evil is taken from our lives, and then we are clothed. You know, we are clothed with the robe of righteousness that we have, that our sin has been covered, the evil has been removed. And really the same thing is happening here, and the townsmen are afraid.
Hmm. They see somebody in their right mind and they're afraid. That would probably happen if somebody encountered me too and they saw me in my right mind, they'd be afraid. And verse 16, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. So then they hear the story from the witnesses.
Right. Yeah, they hear it. And it's interesting because they're not necessarily all concerned about the pigs. I mean, I'm sure there would be if that's their livelihood. You would think that they would be pretty upset about that, but their attention is more at looking at the power that Jesus has over the, you know, this man who they had no power over previously, and there, as a result of that, like it's, you know, they're just amazed at what's happening here.
And so they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Why would they ask Jesus to leave?
When we come into the presence of God, you know, we need to be right. You know, I think of in the call of Isaiah when he has that vision of heaven and he says, you know, I am a man of unclean lips. And he knows he can't enter into the presence. The same thing happens with the disciples sometimes when they see Jesus having this great power over nature. Depart from me, you know, and you have that idea that when they're saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinner, they are instantly seeing the power of God Almighty in the flesh in through Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, they realize their own sin. And because of their own sin, they want Christ to go away. They're kind of holding him at length at this point, saying, I am not worthy to be in your presence. You know, depart from me. And that's what's happening. And at the same point, he had to, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, he had to depart from there because in their sinfulness and saying, Jesus, don't stay here, we don't want Jesus to stay over there either. We know as we're looking at this, as we're starting Lent, we know his journey is to the cross. And when we look at our sin and that same thing in holding Christ out and saying, Jesus, you know, depart from me. Our desire is that he would go to the cross and take our sin away. These men at this point, I think, are just cannot understand the power that they're seeing through the Almighty at this point.
And he, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. Jesus didn't permit him to go with him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because there's times when people would come up to Jesus and say, well, let me follow you. And, you know, or I'll follow you, but first let me go home and bury my dead, you know, whatever it is. But Jesus is not letting him to go with them. He wants him to stay there because he wants him then to proclaim that message, you know, to go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. This is a commission. This is a great commission in this man's life, to proclaim what Christ has done in his life. It's the same thing that happens for us. You know, once Christ, who has entered us and taken over and cast out the demon of the possession of the sin, death, and the world that is within us, then it's our obligation, but our joy to be able to share what Christ has done in our lives. This man becomes the number one witness for Jesus over there in the Gerasenes.
Yeah, he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Marveled, yeah, that amazement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Mark chapter 1, we have the scene that's in the synagogue when Jesus is there, and there's the man who is possessed, and Jesus cast them out, and it says the people there were amazed at what was happening. Now they're amazed because they know this man who had been under this demonic activity, but they're amazed the same way that there's amazement when you see the hand of God working through someone's life too, and they're amazed at the power that God has to be able to change this man. What a remarkable story of God's healing hand for this man. You know, it's great.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text when we look at it as a whole?
You know, we see this idea of there's definitely power. We see the demonic power, but that demonic power is nothing compared to the power of Jesus Christ. And the same thing for us in our lives as we're going out, the power as we sin in our thoughts, words, and deeds on all those actions, and we know that it's the world, our sinful flesh that is attacking us, the power that Jesus has over that to forgive and to show mercy, the mercy that's shown to this man. Jesus could have immediately at first just said, you know, be quiet and come out, and just had those demons stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He saw that man's greatest need was deliverance, and he had mercy on him. And that is really one of the focuses for us here in Lent, to think about our sin and our need for that Savior, and we have that same thing. And as a result of that, we hear those same message that Jesus is telling us, go, tell. How much the Lord has done, and how he has had mercy on us. During Lent, when we go through the litany and, you know, O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. The mercy that we need from Christ is centered at the cross, where we are forgiven. As a result of that, we have that newness of life and that freedom to go and to tell. Boy, nothing better than that, is there?
Amen. Amen. Well, we've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Mark Werner from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Munising, Michigan. Pastor Werner, thanks so much for being our guest pastor, helping us study Mark chapter 5 today.
My pleasure.
God's blessings on you, for you and all the saints there at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Munising, Michigan. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time, including Creation Club. Stick around for more right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.